Hi there and welcome. I am really excited and honored to talk to you about a very important topic, which is suffering. One of the biggest questions that came to me when I went down my spiritual journey is how do I end my suffering? What is suffering? How is it created? What is the meaning of life? How to end my suffering? If there is a God, how could God be so cruel? All these questions that we have about life. I know each and every one of us wants to experience happiness, fulfillment, and having lives that we fulfill our dreams, but we're often pulled towards this thing called sadness, suffering, anxiety, depression, maybe even. And so today I want to answer some of these things from a spiritual perspective. Welcome to the Dr. Aaron Show. May you live your truth. As a doctor of divinity, it took me a lot of my own suffering to really seek truth. And as they say, knock and the door shall open, seek and you shall find. So I'm really excited to dive into this profound conversation of revelation and understanding how we create our reality into existence and how we can create heaven on earth. So welcome to the Dr. Aaron Show. I'm a doctor of divinity. And on this show and podcast, we basically dive deep into spiritual awakening, enlightenment, seeking the truth. We dive into universal law and understanding how we're manifesting through our subconscious mind that is one with the super conscious mind of all creation, that the same source within us created the entire universe, and coming back to the true identity of the I am. So let's do this thing. We always begin by knowing the truth. So let's take a deep breath together. You can run the palms together, connecting the right and left hemisphere of the brain, connecting into our oneness, placing it on your heart and taking a deep breath in. And close your eyes. You can keep them open, whatever works for you. I just recognize in this truth, I acknowledge the one source, the first cause of all of life. I recognize my divine nature. I recognize the suffering and the harmony, the heaven and the hell, the abundance and the scarcity. I recognize it's all the creation from all the one source in this fractal of life, experiencing the individual self along with the divine self. And in this, I recognize that my true identity is divine, that my true identity is one with the creator, that there is a source within me that has created all of life. And I recognize that that is who I am. That's the truth of who I am. I'm not the mini me. I'm the goddess, the God. That within me is the truth of who I am. And I declare this podcast, this conversation of suffering, ending suffering, that I recognize right here, it's already done in the divine mind with the power of consciousness. Right here, right now, we have all the revelation, all the daily practice, all the support, all the community, all the masters that have come before, all of the truth to set us free. And so I simply say this in the name of truth, as together we say, and so it is. Okay, you guys, so let's dive into this. So what is suffering? What is the definition of suffering? What is the true meaning of suffering? What is the meaning of life? How to end suffering? How could God be so cruel if there is a God, which we don't believe in, outside God? Okay, what is wrong with me, right? Why do I feel sad? Why do I feel depressed? Why am I feeling so much anxiety? So why can't I meet a partner? Why can't I get enough money? Why can't I have better health, right? These are all the questions that we're going to dive into today. So you might want to take notes, or you might just want to go on a walk and just allow yourself to listen to the truth through all this. So I wanted to start with my own personal journey. I'll never forget when I had my full-term stillborn at the age of 22. And I remember looking down at his body and realizing that my baby was gone, but his body was here. And I realized we're not these bodies. And so that sent me on a big track of the last 30 years of my life of seeking truth. And what I realized is I remember also, you know, getting caught into the dynamics of the world. I remember thinking, well, if I just made enough money, then I'd be happy. Or if I just, you know, found the right partner or had a bigger home or had, you know, better clothing or whatever it was, I always thought if I just got that, then I would be happy. And this is the trap that we go into. So for a lot of us, you know, you may be dealing with more real problems than that, right? We've got war on the planet. We, you know, I was personally date raped in high school, but people deal with, there's, you know, sexual assaults going on. There is sex slavery, right? There's mental health issues. There's poverty. There's so many things going on the planet that are real things, that are real suffering. Okay. There is pain, right? Physical pain. There's all kinds of things. You may have be having relationship issues, or may dealing with, you know, struggling in your financial situation, Or again, mental health is such an epidemic across the world. So these are things we want to dive into because suffering is relative. And, you know, I don't want to renounce or, you know, diminish some of the suffering going on this planet. But at the same time, I want to have us realize how suffering is created, what we can do, really what we do when we're suffering in our human beingness, and really how to overcome suffering from a spiritual perspective. Okay. So number one, just want to say that I really acknowledge each and every one of you. And no matter what you're going through, I want you to know that empathy and compassion is where I come from. This is not spiritual bypassing or thinking something is wrong with you for suffering, but that is actually the point of all of it. So, you know, these are the big questions that people ask, you know, how can it all be good, right? A lot of spiritualists will be like, oh, it's all good. It's all love. It's all whatever. And sometimes people think that's spiritually bypassing. And so we don't want to do that. But what we want to understand is the perfection of life, the perfection of how you create your own suffering. And that might be a lot to, you know, gulp down or think, how am I doing that when, you know, my partner cheated, or, you know, someone stole money from me, or, you know, there's a war going on, right? How do we actually say, how are we creating it? So we want to dive into universal law, dive into the creative process of how we create our own suffering and how we can recreate it. The same mind that can create suffering can create harmony and bliss on heaven on earth. And so that's really the question, what we're seeking. And as we take a look, even in the Western world, you know, we have a lot of suffering from things of people thinking that if they just have more material wealth, then they'll be happy. And yet we find that people are more unhappy than they've ever been. And we have more luxuries and more things. And yet people are getting sadder and sadder and more disconnected than ever. Technology is getting us more connected, but yet we feel the most disconnected. So how are we creating this? And we want to know and kind of look at what's the programming that's gone on. How do we actually create from the creative process? And this is how it goes. So I'll never forget. I was actually years ago in a very dysfunctional relationship. I dealt with codependency a lot and I would suffer greatly in my relationship. At this point in time, I was engaged with a famous rock star and he was an addict and would fall off the wagon. And I would point the finger saying, he's a narcissist. Something's wrong with him, right? I felt every reason to be justified in my blame, shame, and guilt game. Okay. I over and over, these were the vicious cycles that I experienced over and over. And as clients come to me and I begin to see the patterns of really the four areas of life where people suffer, they suffer in, of course, money and career, relationships and love, health and vitality, and really finding their purpose and calling. So these are the same cycles. It doesn't matter what's going on, even war, there's a cycle of the human vicious cycle that's happening even in war. And someone might think, well, if someone has advanced cancer, how did they do that, right? That's an advanced understanding of how consciousness creates. So first we have to know that we are not individual. We are connected to all of it. So what happens to us is happening from the perspective of the grander picture of what's happening in the collective. And usually what happens, you know, over and over again, and I don't know if you do this, which all human beings do this. So whenever we feel bad or whenever we're suffering, we generally want to blame it or project it onto something in life. This is the mini mind evaluating and justifying why, right? Wow, if I'm suffering, it's because they said that or they did that. Oh, I'm suffering. It's because my boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, you know, did something. They, you know, they're acting in a way that I don't like, and therefore it is affecting me, right? We project our emotions on other people. We don't take full responsibility because we don't understand how we are creating our own experience. And that is really from our true identity. So whenever we don't know our divine identity, we're coming from an individualized identity. So our identity is creating our beliefs, right? Our belief is that they did something to us, okay? And then that's creating our thoughts. You know, if they didn't do that, then I wouldn't do this, right? Playing the ping pong effect of life. So it's identity creates our beliefs, creates our thoughts, creates our feelings, creates our emotions, and creates the circumstances of our life. So we have to know that our suffering is coming from within always. No one can have us suffer, right? I mean, someone could say, hey, someone shot me or someone, you know, cut me. That would be someone did that to me. That's pain versus suffering. So we have to know, right, that that's the difference of it. All suffering comes down to one thing and one thing only. Okay. It's wanting people, places, and life to be different than it is, which means the one thing is placing our power outside of ourselves rather than recognizing that our suffering is coming from within. And as we spiritually awaken, we realize that all of life is designed is to come back into the beloved divine within, into the source within, that you can call it God's source, you can call it the field, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but it is the essence of who you are. It is pure consciousness. It is pure creation. And that's the truth of who you are. You are a creator and you are one with the creator in the true essence, not as the individualized you, but as a collective you. You are all of it. And so anytime we are suffering, it is because we are wanting our feelings to feel different. We're wanting our circumstances to be different. We want people to be different. We want anything, right? It's anything that is outside of ourselves. Even emotions are outside because that's in the physical realm. That's the experience of here. Inside, if you will, the inner world is that part that's pure potential. It is only bliss inside of there. It is only pure potential. It is this infinite, infinite wisdom and infinite, infinite knowingness, right? But we're programmed to believe that we should only be positive. So anytime we then have an emotion that is divided, anytime we feel an emotion that's negative, our entire culture has programmed to think something's wrong with you if you're feeling negative. Something's wrong with you if you are having an emotion. We're afraid of these things because we're afraid of knowing ourselves fully. We only want to look at the good. We only want to feel good. We have these, you know, different senses, our touch, our smell. We only want positive. But the negative is actually what causes us to go within, to the guru within, to transmute and transform that dark to the light. Some stories here. You know, I remember when I was 16 years old, or before I turned 16, I was 15. And I remember wanting so bad to be able to drive and have a car. And I remember thinking, well, if I when I just have a car and can drive, then I'm going to be free, right? Then I'll be happy, because I was still relying on my mother, who wasn't really around. I was relying on friends who had cars. It was a hassle. I felt suffering from it. And so I thought, when I get a car, then everything's going to work out. So what did I do? I waited tables. I saved money. I got a crappy car. I went and got my driver's license. And yes, I was free for about a day. And then I had to make money to pay for the gas. The car would break down, right? I had to, you know, haul other friends around, right? There was more suffering. And the point is that we keep thinking that these circumstances out here are going to make us happy. But as they say, more money, more problems. Okay. And that is not to say that if you can't put food on your table, then of course there might be extra suffering, because we have basic needs for our survival. But the truth is that most of the things that we think that are going to fulfill us or make us happy or end our suffering actually will never be the thing that ends our suffering. And sometimes we begin to identify with our sadness and we think, well, I'm sad again. I'm suffering again. Something's wrong with me. I don't belong, right? I'm not enough, right? Whatever that is, we begin to think that we identify with the circumstances, when the truth is we are not our beliefs. We're not the circumstances of our life. We're not our suffering. We're the creator of them. It's the meaning that we put on it that makes it bad. Suffering is putting a negative meaning to something, assigning a negative meaning to a circumstance or whatever it is, and we instantaneously feel a negative feeling. And that is suffering. So we believe that if we just do more, if we just, you know, we just have more, we just whatever, then we think one day we'll be happy. And that is the lie. That's the lie. Okay. The truth is that when I'm working with a client, okay, and we're doing the deep, deep trauma work, and we're doing that deep, deep transcending work, and we're deprogrammed from all the things that the culture said that we'd be happy, we're dealing with what would be the past, the present, and the future, knowing that there's only right here and right now. And the point of doing the work is to, yes, end suffering and begin to powerfully live in the now. You know, everything is relative. I remember listening to a talk by Ram Dass years ago, and he was talking about how happiness and even prosperity is relative. And he was talking about how he was working at Stanford still, and he was around all these people, all this wealth, and he realized that it was a dead end place. And he also worked with some high end clients that were very, very wealthy. And he started, you know, hanging out with them and realizing how it's just relative. And he was in this plane with a client or with a friend, and he pulled up in this airport, this private airport, and they pulled up next to this huge, like, G5 jet. And the guy that owned the plane, kind of, you could feel his kind of ego kind of, deflate. You know, he realized, Ram Dass realized that it's just relative. There's always going to be somebody more that's better, right? There's someone that has more followers than you, more likes. There's somebody that's doing more than you. There's somebody that's prettier, skinnier, wealthier, whatever it may be. It's like they're younger, they're older, they're, you know, whatever it is, it's all relative. And so happiness and joy is an inside job, because if you look to the world, it's always going to be relative. It's never going to be enough. It's impossible for it to be enough. So remember, suffering is wanting people, places, and circumstances to be different than they are. It really is a division in mind. Okay. So if our mind is looking at life and experiencing life, and it is feeling like it is less than or doesn't have enough, the truth is the mind is in duality. The mind is in individualized false identity. So the answer actually for all suffering is coming to the truth of your oneness. Now, how do you do that? It's easier said than done, right? Because we have expectations. We've been programmed to have expectations in life. So the minute, you know, your friends don't call you when you want them to call you, you have failed expectations, right? The minute that you expect your partner or the person you're dating or your, you know, husband or wife or whatever, you know, demographic you're in, the moment they don't do what you think you can do and your needs, they're supposed to fulfill your needs, right? That's the whole coaching industry online is all about, dating and thinking like you need to fulfill these certain needs, right? So you're set up for failed expectations. In fact, I think that less than 15% of marriages in the West are happy half the time because it's based off of expectations and programming and roles the culture told us, which are all setting us up for suffering and failure, right? And so what does that mean? That means we're judging. That means we're resisting what is. That means we're putting meaning around all of the experience of all of it, right? And so as the prayer goes, the serenity prayer, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay. And we have to know that everything we're taught, even like the universe has my back or everything happens for a reason, is incorrect. The truth is, and yes, it is correct, but the truth is that the universe is neutral. The universe just has cause and effect. And that's what we teach is universal law, that there's actually no meaning around it. There actually is no meaning. And, you know, everything that happens is just a cause and effect. We are here in a universe of a masterclass of creation, right? It's just cause and effect. The universe doesn't know the difference from a dollar or $1 billion. The universe doesn't know when someone kills somebody in war that's good or bad. I mean, look at the wild world, okay? I heard also a story that, and I'm not totally sure if it's correct, but from what I understand, when a lion goes into their pride, a new pride, and the male lions battle, and if one takes over that pride, they supposedly will go and kill all the young cubs, because that lion wants to have, you know, put its offspring into that pride, you know, multiple female lions. Okay. Is that good? Is that bad? Well, it's relative, because that's nature, right? There we are born and we transition, we die in these bodies. Is that bad? Is that good? It's relative. It just is what it is. It's not good or bad. It's what people, the meaning that people put on it that has them suffer. The reason why we suffer when somebody transitions and dies is because we label that as bad, but there's only perfection, right? We say that in the lineage, which is, we say there's only perfect health. And people say, well, how can stage 4 cancer be perfect health? Because there's only the cause and effect of what's happening. And the body is showing us the cause and effect of everything that's happening emotionally in that body, everything that's happened in the environment of the cause and effect of toxins, right? Everything's happening for whatever is happening. But the true essence is that we are not our bodies. So the spirit has only perfect health. Okay. We suffer because we are constantly trying to have our individual desires. And when we change our identity of one of divine, we no longer suffer, because we don't identify with just this body or just this little mini relationship or just this whatever. To come to the divine nature, we realize that all of life is working through us and we surrender. We get into service and we get into the divine presence of right here, right now. We accept what is here right now. And happiness is not just about getting more or becoming more. Happiness is only in the divine presence. And so I want to dive into a little bit about what we can do to end our suffering, how we can tap into that divine presence. And so, you know, I've worked with so many clients over the years that come for suffering. Probably 9 out of 10 of the clients I've worked with deal with codependency. In the Western world, we have been really programmed to think that romantic love is going to fulfill us. And we also have been really programmed to believe that money is going to solve all of our problems. And we really are really afraid of death. In fact, we don't even talk about getting older or talk about death and dying and transitioning in our culture. It's something that is a taboo thing. In fact, we rarely even show older people. There's so many older people, that the elderly, that are suffering in silence all alone because our culture tends to just like young, beautiful, fresh meat, as they say. Okay. So we want to really come truly into understanding what's really going on for people. And the reason why I personally love to work with spiritually based coaches and people who really want to do their deep, deep work to make a difference on the planet is because I find that unless people are at that level, they're really at that surrender level, they are just trying to put band-aids on things. They really are coming to manifest more money. They're trying to manifest their partner. They're trying to manifest all this. And for me, manifesting without spiritual awakening is a massive trap. It is the rat race. You get more money and yet you end in a dead end. You know, it's like a trap. And you think, well, if I just go over here and I fulfill this goal and you get to that goal and you're like, well, I'm still not fulfilled. What's wrong with me, right? We saw this in The Secret and the Law of Attraction. And I remember watching The Secret, the documentary, and reading the book and diving really into the Law of Attraction. And I remember I could manifest some things, but other things I couldn't. And even the things I could manifest, I still felt really unfulfilled. And the things I couldn't manifest, I was like, well, does this really work? And I realized there was something massively, massively missing. And it was deep subconscious work of recognizing that we have energetic patterns that are holding us back through the traumas that have happened before. And trauma is not what happens to you. Trauma is what happens within you. And when something occurs, a traumatic incident, we have a high, high level of emotions because we've assigned a meaning, a negative meaning. And in that high state of vibration and frequency, of a negative frequency and vibration, we decide something that is more a division of mind. I'm not enough. Something's wrong with me. I'll never love again, whatever that is. And we cast ourselves out even more into our suffering. So what I realize is through the Law of Attraction that these material things are not necessarily going to make us happy, aren't necessarily going to fulfill us. And they're also something massively missing, which is understanding that we're connected to the collective and that we have energetic ties that we're born into this lifetime in, and that we have to release those. But there's something even deeper, which is that we really will never be fulfilled from the external things, that until we come into the divine nature of our oneness and really merge in that, and we realize we're in this world, but we're not of this world, that we will always suffer, that all of life is really demanding us to come back to the beloved divine, into our true essence. And that is why having a massive spiritual practice every day, our daily spiritual practice, is a path to ending our suffering. Okay. So we want to do a few things. One, in my book, Awakening, there's 4 real steps to awakening, which are the real first steps of coming into a life beyond suffering. Number one is deciding and realizing and waking up to how you're creating your reality, to really seeing and spotting how your suffering is being created so you can take responsibility and not project it into thinking it's about something in the external world. Okay. The second step is reprogramming. So that does take a look at, wow, all my suffering is I'm thinking that if I just get more, do more, then I'll end my suffering. And that's the lie. It's also deprogramming and reprogramming the subconscious mind from all the trauma and all the limited beliefs and limited identity that's keeping me stuck in these stuck negative patterns. Okay. And then number three is really aligning to your relative truth, right? Aligning to the 4 areas of your life of knowing what you're really here to do, what's your soul's purpose, and what's your relative truth here on this planet, in this lifetime, right? And then number 4 is aligning and affirming every single day with a spiritual practice. And that is the real work, the daily spiritual practice. And so that's what I invite you to come into one of my programs, to learn how to dive deep into doing your trauma work through the E4 method, E4 trauma method, being able to take the E4 method to clear out all your past programming, being able to emotionally master right here, right now through the E4 method, and then be able to quantum manifest your embodied highest self for the highest good for the collective. And then doing a daily spiritual practice and teaching you guys all the body work, prana work, through breath work, through meditation, through mantra, through all that deep, deep work. And then coming into the zero point field, into that sacred, sacred, beloved divine space. The science will call it the field, divine beloved, into the source within, God source within, no matter what you want to call it. But these are the things that we have to master to end suffering. So the first step is realizing that if you stay in the external world, you will suffer. It's part of life. And that's part of life. Even having a daily spiritual practice, we're human in this human realm. And part of it is suffering. And unless we want to really, really become masters and live in that source field, then we live in a bliss state. We could live in a bliss state all day long, meditating all day long, and being one with God all day long. But that may not be realistic. You got to pay your bills. You got to do all your stuff, right? So teaching you how to hold that space in a mantra all day long, learning how to stay in mindfulness all day long, learning how to have one prayer. Your life is a prayer. And so I just want you to know that there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You are divine, sacred, beloved spirit. Your suffering is grace, demanding you to come back into the truth of who you are, into your oneness and into that divine sacred space within, letting go of everything no longer serves you and no longer buying into the matrix, buying into the rat race of life, but rather coming into the sacred hood of your divine nature, your divinity. And so I'm Dr. Erin. I'm here as a Dr. Divinity, knowing that this is not about me and my ego teaching you. This is about divine ancient truths that have given me a life beyond my wildest dreams, that demand me to come back to my spiritual practice. I suffer greatly too if I don't stay true to my daily spiritual practice and into my ministry of life, which is giving and serving truth to the world, developing spiritual leaders, developing spiritual coaches and E4 facilitators, teaching spiritual psychology, teaching how we create the power of our mind, how we individually use the power of mind, and we get to use it to design and to evolve the species on this planet. Recently, I was at an event with Krishna Das, and he's a famous singer and musician, and he was asked a question after a set. Someone asked, with all the AI and the war and all the insane things going on the planet, what can we do? You know? And Krishna Das said, you know, human beings will tend to F everything up. You know, that's what they do best. But what we can do as practitioners is we can go into the silence and we can expand our consciousness for the collective. We are one. And so just as much as someone, you know, using discord and using evil on the planet, we can also equally create miracles within consciousness and know that love frequency and the oneness for all. And so I invite you to come and grab one of my free gifts below, come into the community, really take in the wisdom of universal law, come into the wisdom of recognizing how you can transform your trauma and come to the divine identity of the I am. And then coming into any of our programs if you really want to be a practitioner and take your life to the next level. I'm Dr. Erin, and I am so beyond honored and excited to take this divine journey with you. Have a beautiful, blessed day, and may you live your truth.